Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
While King Ahab and his evil wife Queen Jezebel were ruling in the northern kingdom of Israel, they introduced the worship of an idol god called Baal. Jezebel was very involved in the worship of Baal, and so she could install Baal worship as the only religion in Israel, she persecuted and killed many of the prophets of the one true God of Israel. As a result, God sent his prophet Elijah to tell Ahab that there was going to be a severe drought in Israel, with no rain or dew until Elijah said so. Then God told Elijah to hide in a place fairly close to his home in Gilead on the eastern side of the Jordan River. Later, God directed Elijah to go outside of Israel and live in a seaside town of Zarephath, to be cared for by a widow and her child close to starvation. God promised that the widow's barrel of flour and jug of oil wouldn't dry up until there was rain again in the region. After about 3 years of severe drought, God told Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 18 to present himself to King Ahab. God promised Elijah that he would send rain. Ahab had been so desperate to keep his army's horses alive that he himself, along with his palace governor Obadiah, divided up the land and went looking for any springs of water that they could find. Note that the king's governor, Obadiah, shouldn't be considered as the same as the prophet Obadiah. On the way, Ahab's Obadiah met Elijah, who told him to tell King Ahab that he would come to speak to him that day. Obadiah was afraid to tell Ahab that Elijah had come, in case he disappeared again and in anger Ahab killed Obadiah. But Ahab did meet Elijah and spoke to him that very day.
So, you're he who has troubled Israel for these 3.5 years.
I have not troubled Israel. Rather, it is you, your house, and the people of Israel. They have forsaken God and worshipped Baal. Now therefore, O king, gather all Israel unto Mount Carmel, the people, the prophets of Baal, the prophets of the groves, everyone. I shall be there, and Israel shall be shown who is the true God and who is the false.
Elijah, the prophet, wishes to speak.
People of Israel, how long are you going to remain of two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal be God, follow him. Which will ye? I stand before you as the only prophet of the Lord God. But of Baal's prophets, there are 450 present, one against 450. Let the 450 prophets of Baal select 2 bullocks, one for them, one for me. We will each cut our bullock in pieces and lay them on wood upon the altar, and put no fire under the wood. And then shall the prophets of Baal call unto Baal, and I will call unto the Lord God. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God, and worshipped by all Israel.
It seems fair enough, your majesty.
Yes. Agree you to this arrangement?
Why not? Sure!
Everything in readiness.
It is, most high priestess.
Then call upon Baal, and he will rain fire down upon the offering.
Oh, Baal!
Call on him again. He didn't hear you.
Oh, Baal! All 450 of you priests call upon Baal. Then he will hear you and answer with fire.
Oh, Baal!
Oh, Baal, bring fire down upon
the matter? Why doesn't Baal hear and answer?
I do not know, most high priestess.
Have the priests jump upon the altar and plead louder. Let them come. cut themselves with sharp knives until blood flows freely.
Cry louder! Louder! He is a god! You yourselves said so!
This wild calling upon Baal to rain fire down to burn the bullock continued until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. Then the 450 priests of Baal gave up and in silence gave way to Elijah, lone prophet of God.
Come near unto me, ye people of Israel.
And the people gathered around Elijah.
Ye chosen people, I call your attention to this altar of God, which was broken down, but which I have repaired. Around the altar, you will notice a trench. On the altar is the bullock and pieces of wood. I have had water brought forth in barrels, which shall now be poured over the bullock and the wood. Pour still four more barrels of water upon the altar, that the wood be soaked and impossible by human effort to burn. And now, fill the trench around the altar. Lord God of Abraham and Isaac and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God. Turn the hearts of these thy people back unto thee.
Fire. Fire from heaven. It is burning the bullock, even the stones of the altar and the water in the trench. The Lord God of Israel, he is the one and only true God.
The Lord, he is God!
The first thing that Ahab said to Elijah was that the drought had been caused by Elijah, when in fact it was Ahab who had abandoned the commandments of the Almighty God, listened to his wife and built a temple to her false pagan god. Ahab had a weak character, and he refused to take any responsibility for his own sins and actions. People who have a controlling spirit blame others for the very same thing that they're doing. One indicator of a controlling person is that they consider themselves as never to blame. They shift the blame onto anyone else, even when they most assuredly are the guilty one. Often, to take away the focus of their mistake or wrongdoing, they change the subject to something else. Ahab was in complete denial that the drought was God's punishment for his, Jezebel's, and the Israelites' sins. So Elijah challenged Ahab to a contest to prove once and for all which God was the real God of Israel, the living God of Moses, or the stone and wooden pagan figurines representing Baal. Ahab summoned the people from all over Israel to witness this contest between the gods at Mount Carmel, close to the Mediterranean Sea. Clearly, the purpose of this severe drought was to call people to remember how God had blessed them in the past with plenty of food and ample water to grow their crops and to care for their animals. When the Lord Jesus was asked by his disciples when the end times would come, he said in Matthew chapter 24, "Nation will go to war against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world." The extremes of weather patterns we're seeing now should be a warning for people to get right with God and forsake their idol worship, whatever it is, because the time when the Lord Jesus will return for his people is very near. On Mount Carmel, Elijah told the Israelite people that they must no longer waver between serving two gods. This principle has always held true. As Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters, for you'll hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot both serve God and money." There are many false gods in the world, but only one true God. By the end of the God Almighty versus Baal contest, the people would surely know without a shadow of a doubt that the Lord God is the true God. It simply wasn't enough for the people to acknowledge that the Lord was the true God. They also needed to purge the evil from among them, according to the law of Moses. Elijah sent the now God-fearing people to kill all the prophets of Baal. In total, there were 450 prophets of Baal, and 400 prophets of Asherah, the fertility goddess, who ate at Jezebel's table. Small wonder Jezebel was enraged when she found out so many of her employees were killed. In the Bible, Christians aren't called on to kill God's enemies because we don't live in a theocratic society like the ancient Israelites did. However, we're certainly called on to purge evil from our own lives and from our churches, and not fear what people can do to us by doing so. Elijah thought that he was the only prophet of the Lord left. He was the only one publicly taking a stand against Baal worship, but there were actually other prophets who were in hiding. Many Christians criticize secret believers for lacking courage and not standing up for Jesus in public. But we must be careful not to pass judgment on such people, for they know what God has called them to do and will answer to God for any unwise, fear-filled choices that they've made. Then Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel and began to pray. Although God had assured him that rain would come, Elijah also knew that he must pray for it to come as well. It would be at Elijah's word that God would send rain, and so Elijah's words of prayer went up to God. Now that the people had confessed their faith in God, Elijah could boldly plead with God to end the drought and remove the curse of famine from the land. The Lord didn't answer Elijah's prayer for rain straight away. One might ask why Elijah needed to pray if God had already decided to send the rain. In many places in the scriptures, we are commanded to pray. God often waits to hear our prayers before he takes action. To pray effectively, we must pray in faith and in accordance with God's will. When God sees that we are seeking his will and honor above all, then he'll graciously answer our prayers. Elijah prayed 7 times, and only then did God's answer appear as a small cloud on the horizon. Elijah sent his servant to warn Ahab to quickly return to his palace in Jezreel, lest his chariot could get stuck in the mud or the fast-filling streams. Ahab left as Elijah instructed. While a huge rainfall appeared in the clouds, the power of the Lord came upon Elijah. Elijah tucked his long robe into his belt and ran ahead of Ahab's chariot for the entire 30 kilometers that it was to Jezreel. Through his obedience to God, Elijah became like a watchman on the wall, warning the people to turn back to God. In Ezekiel chapter 33, God renewed Ezekiel's call to be a watchman for the people of Israel. It says, "Once again a message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, give your people this message. When I bring an army against a country, the people of that land choose one of their own to be a watchman. When the watchman sees the enemy coming, he sounds the alarm to warn the people. Then if those who hear the alarm refuse to take action, it's their own fault if they die. They heard the alarm, but they ignored it, so the responsibility is theirs. If they'd listened to the warning, they could have saved their lives. But if the watchman sees the enemy coming and doesn't sound the alarm to warn the people, he is responsible for their calamity. They'll die in their sins, but I'll hold the watchman responsible for their deaths." Do you have a great respect for God that what he says in the Bible is true? Do you believe that God will do all that he has predicted in the Bible? In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 to 10, it says, "If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved." God's word will always stand the test of time, and we need to carefully check that we're living our lives according to God's great plan and promises revealed as yet to come. The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You can also contact us through our website, www.bibleradio.org.au. Those addresses again, and the website, bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time.